Welcome back to Right Side Radio. I'm Scott Buttram from the Trussell Tribune, sitting in for Phil Williams today, and we're glad you're joining us. We are in the middle of what we have kind of jokingly, not jokingly, referred to as the 1819 News Hour. You just heard from Editor-in-Chief Jeff Poore. Now joining us is the guy who had, I guess you could call him the brainchild of 1819 News, Brian Dawson. He is the CEO and the guy who dreamed this up, created it, and it has now become a mammoth force in conservative news in the state of Alabama. Brian, thank you for taking the time to join us today.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me, and I've been called a child before, but never a brainchild. So
Well,
the new one for me.
If your wife's not listening, she won't call in and argue. So,
correct.
Keep it between us.
Yes.
I laugh, and I've told you this before, Brian. One of the first times I met Brian, and you guys were not even off the ground yet. You were just kind of pulling everything together to get it rolling.
Yeah.
And I would laugh because Brian would refer to 1819 News as the dynasty. And I'm like, dude, let's just get the website turned on first and see where it goes. But hey, partner, you turned out to be prophetic with that because it has absolutely become a conservative news dynasty in the state of Alabama in very short order, by the way.
Yeah, well, thank you. And you know, you read leadership books, and it, you know, and sometimes you wonder, they're just like trying to fill pages with words, and they always talk about the importance of the team, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I've never led, you know, anything like this. We've got about 27 people, I think, working for us, and I have learned that is absolutely 100% true.
Absolutely.
And beginning with Jeff Poore, the guy that was just on. He has got the newsroom functioning and firing, you know, just from a cultural standpoint of the reporters being happy and learning and growing and getting better and helping them with, you know, news choice selection. And just the relationships and the knowledge of Alabama politics that he has is just unbelievable.
Oh, he's the best.
You know, our reporters, and you know Erica Thomas very well.
Absolutely.
And she sets the standard for what we expect of our reporters. I always say, you know, 1819 News, the secret sauce, what sets us apart in a journalism world filled with getting press boxes in your inbox and waiting for stories to come to you. And that's kind of how news is done these days. Well, that's not her, and that's not 1819 News. We've got real reporters who are muckrakers at heart out there beating the pavement, pressing the flesh, asking real questions of real people about things that actually matter to the folks in the state of Alabama. So she sets the standard there. Craig is always doing just lights out, huge, impactful stories. Will, Caleb, on down, and Andrea Tice, and you just go on and on. Unbelievably, you know, gifted, talented group of people, but they're not just high competency. They're just, you know, just on board with the vision. They understand that the world is spiraling out of control, and, you know, the truth can set you free. And so we're in pursuit of truth, no matter what it costs us, no matter what may come our way, we're going to pursue the truth.
You know, you and I do talk a lot, and you've become a very good friend of mine in this industry, and I think we share a lot of the same management philosophies and styles. Hearing you talk about team, I'm reminded, growing up in Tuscaloosa, I was 22 years old before Bear Bryant was not the football coach at Alabama. I mean, I was a young adult. I didn't know any other way of life. And, you know, we hung on every word that the man said,
yeah,
especially if it involved football. But we also hung on every word when he talked about his philosophy of life and how you deal with people. And one of the things I remember so specifically was him saying, every time I hire a coach, I'm trying to hire a guy smarter than me. Because if he's not smarter than me, what good's he going to do me? So, I think you and I kind of feel the same way. If I know people in management who don't want to hire anybody better than them or anybody smarter than them, they consider it a threat. I want everybody I hire to be better than me. That's what I embrace.
Make my job easier.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't want to have to retrain everybody that comes in. I want to find somebody that can teach me some things. And I think that's why you've had the success you have had with this 1819 News staff. You've gone after some of the best, and you've landed them, and they've done a great job. Erica was with us at the Tribune for, I think, 3 or 4 years before she moved over to 1819 News. I knew what you were getting. You got the best in the business, in my opinion.
Amen.
Brian.
Yes, sir. And go ahead.
One of the things that I wanted to talk about, and you and I talked about it briefly, and Jeff and I touched on it. I told him you and I were probably going to discuss it a little more, so we didn't go, you know, we shared our opinion, but we didn't go too deep into the weeds on this. Earlier this week, we watched some of the biggest news outlets in America, CNN, The Wall Street Journal, The New York Times, The Washington Post, Bloomberg. We could go on and on and on. Of
great folks.
Yeah, very impressive. decide to take a press release from a known terrorist organization, known pathological liars, and without vetting a single claim in that press release, ran it as their headlines that Israel had bombed a hospital in Gaza. Within hours, the Israeli army presented documented, irrefutable evidence that they did not bomb a hospital. They did not bomb the parking lot, is actually what it turned out to be. They had nothing to do with it. This was a bomb fired by another terrorist organization that malfunctioned and landed in the parking lot next to the hospital. What point have we reached in media when we have major outlets that will accept a press release as fact from a terrorist organization and then run with it and present it to their audience as fact? How bad have we fallen?
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing, you know, there's no propaganda like war propaganda,
right?
One, and I've not been in the news business long. I've been in a news outlet for 2 years. I've been in conservative media for about 10.
Right.
But everyone knows, you know, you want to get it first, but first get it right.
Right.
Right. And so the temptation to be the first one to press with the war propaganda, right? Well, the first thing you need to understand, if you've been watching news and war and any of this stuff for any period of time, is that the likelihood of you getting a report that quickly, that, you know, that especially from a terrorist organization, that it might be propaganda, right? That's used to weigh on emotions. But it's not just, you know, terrorist groups sending that stuff out and then radical left outlets picking it up and running with it. You know, the elevated heat and pressure of this situation, you saw it when they said that the 40 babies were beheaded,
right?
When, you know, in the original attack, and Ben Shapiro and all the guys at the Daily Wire just ran with it.
Oh, yeah.
It's all over. They're killing babies. Their baby says off. We've got to go in there. And again, I get where he's coming from, but you know, that came out a couple of days later that is, you know, the Israeli, I think it was IDF, or one of them came out and said, like, we actually have no evidence that happened.
Right.
Right. And so everyone needs to take a deep breath and realize that, you know, let the dust settle a little bit before actually passing a solidified report. Or you can say, hey, we're waiting to confirm, you know, but reports are coming out, something like that. But to just write it as though this is absolute gospel truth, knowing that war propaganda is what it is, and not just taking a deep breath and trying to you know, connect some dots and figure things out before running to the press, or, you know, printing.
We even had one CNN reporter who had not, by the way, who had not seen the bombing site, had not seen anything firsthand at the time that he made this comment, that went on the air and said, well, you know, we don't see Hamas bombs doing this kind of damage. This damage could only be done by an Israeli bomb. And as it turned out, the guy had not even seen the bombing site. He had no idea what it looked like, but he's on the air making that claim. Had to be basing it entirely upon the press release from the terrorist organization. So that just boggles my mind. Brian, we're in an industry, and you and I feed our family from being in the media. This is how we take care of our families and how we earn our living. We're in an industry that is uniquely protected by the United States Constitution. I mean, that's pretty rare. Our grants to exist are granted from the Constitution, and we specifically have that freedom to go out and do our jobs. But I think you agree that every freedom, there has to be responsibility associated with that freedom. And we're watching major media outlets all over the world, especially here in the United States. They want the freedom, but they are completely shirking the responsibility that comes along with it. What's going to happen in our industry if that continues? And could this be a wake-up moment for those media outlets and where they realize they've got to do better?
No, they're gone, and they're never coming back. And this is why, and it's why we started 1819. And so what you're seeing is the decentralization of news media. And so it used to be ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, CNN, and that was really kind of it, you know,
right,
as far as TV news goes. Well, now you've got Joe Rogan, who hits 50 million people with one of his big podcasts. Elon Musk buys Twitter.
Right.
You know, and all of a sudden, this idea of real journalism comes back again. And real journalism, there's a hunger and a thirst for the truth. And we're realizing how bad these entities have been bought and paid for by corporations, special interests, even used by the government,
right,
to manipulate our emotions into doing what it is that they want us to do. And you can go back to COVID and watch what happened. You know, in December 2019, we were all watching videos of people in hazmat suits in China, like stacking body bags and stuff like that. And like COVID was bad, but it wasn't that bad. And they were using that to like gin up our emotions so that we would be scared to death. And the moment we heard someone had COVID, we would just do whatever the government told us. Right.
Right.
On into how they did January 6th and made that look like, and it was January 6th was bad, but they made it look like it was way worse. And they used media to do it. And, you know, whether it's Russia collusion, all of the things that they do, they use the media, and the media is just, it's just a tool to win over people who aren't paying close enough attention to their side so that they have, you know, popular opinion is on their side so that they have force and they can do with us what they will. And the people are tired of it. And you know, it almost seems the bigger the news corporation, the worse it is. And when you have like your nightly news brought to you by Pfizer, at that point, you just kind of got to be like, well, I'm not sure I'm going to believe anything these people say. But then you have, and again, and it's, I'm trying to think what the girl's name. She was an avid leftist. She was a Jewish lesbian, I think. And she left, I want to say it was the Washington Post, and they ran her out of there because, like, she was anti-Trump, but she wasn't anti-Trump enough, right? And then she leaves and then turns into just this amazing journalist. I wish I could think of her name.
I know who you're talking about, and I can't think of it either.
Yeah. And she's totally, and the beauty of that is she's totally not on Team Trump or Team Conservative, but the thing inside of her that made her want to be a journalist was the pursuit of truth, and she realized that trumped her, maybe her political allegiances, and so she just did what she was supposed to do and told the truth, and it got her fired. But now,
right,
because she got fired, now we know if this lady's writing this, it's probably because she actually has real, you know, evidence and has went out and searched for the truth, and she's reporting it. I mean, anyone who's willing to lose their job to tell the truth, especially when they hold to that ideology and be kind of killed by their own, as it were, you know, that person is going to tell. Is Barry Weiss, is that her name?
That is exactly who it is. She was one of the ones that worked on the Twitter papers.
Yep. And so, but yeah, and then watching the Twitter files was like one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my life.
I agree.
To just see all of that unfold. And it was all these things, especially, you know, guys like us who work in the media, we can sense when things are wrong. And basically Elon came and showed us every single one of our gut feelings about the wrongness of what was going on. We were actually right. And you know, it was hard to imagine that many people were lying to us, that the government was involved in it. You know, whether it was covering up election fraud or COVID virus and working with Fauci, and it's hard to wrap your mind around, you know, that level. And so when you start talking about Washington Post, New York Times, and all those publications you send, to me, that's all they are, is giant paid-for propaganda machines.
Right, right. They are. And how brilliant was it of Elon Musk to pick three journalists that were all presumed liberal, by the way? That was their reputation, that these were three liberal people in journalism. But he had spotted something else. He, as you just said, he prioritized the truth and reporting the truth over their liberal or their political leanings, and it paid off because these guys ended up being very hard to dispute. Brian, we've got about 30 seconds left. So what is next for 1819?
That's a great question. We're so focused on the day-to-day and just you know, exposing things. But I mean, that's really it. Is you know, the year one was build the machine. Year two was market the machine, which is gathering an audience, you know, aggregating an audience and cultivating influence. And finally, year three is monetization, and our monetization efforts are going really, really well. We're a nonprofit news company. You can support us financially on our website. It's really just building out that monetization model so that we're sustained through citizen support, so that we're working for the people and that we're here. I think of it as planting an oak tree in the middle of the state that's going to be here for generations, providing shade in the form of truth and honest journalism. So we're here to stay, and that's what we're focused on, is just getting up and doing our work every single day. So nothing big or, earth changing on the horizon, just getting up and putting one foot in front of the other and working our tails off for the people of Alabama.
I hear you. I think it says something, Brian, that as we see traditional media falling apart, both the Trustful Tribune and 1819 News have experienced growth that neither one of us fully anticipated. Maybe old school's the right way.
That's it.
All right, Brian, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. That was Brian Dawson from 1819 News. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with Right Side Radio and fill you in a little bit more that's going on. Welcome back to Right Side Radio. I'm Scott Buttram, sitting in for Phil Williams today, and happy to be here. Always happy to be with this audience. Speaking of this audience, Boomer, grab your microphone. Listen, we got to talk about one of our listeners. One of my favorite listeners, by the way, is John from Huntsville. John texted us earlier in the show. We've been so busy, we hadn't had a chance to really look at him. John, first of all, thank you for always listening in. Thank you for always being encouraging. You're just kind of a bright light around here, and I appreciate you, my friend. One of the things that John asked about was, do I think Jim Jordan will eventually get the votes to be elected speaker? Man, this is a cop-out answer, John. I have no idea. I kind of thought we might see the gap close a little bit today in the third vote. I did not expect him to get elected, but I thought it might narrow the gap a little bit, and I think he went from 20 votes down to 19 down, so it's not enough. I just think that's really up in the air, and I think that our House of Representatives, the Republican side of the House of Representatives, need to get their act together, get on the same page, and get on with the business of the country, and I hope they make the right pick. So I don't know. It could happen, but I honestly don't know how this thing is going to play out. Another question, Boomer, that John asked about. He wants to know about your football picks.
Well, football pick 'em for the picks are in for both McQueen and I, just letting you know. And I saw where you asked to make sure everything was okay with Phil. Yes, everything is okay with Phil. He is just taking a couple of personal days to spend some time with the family.
Phil does that on a regular basis.
Yeah, I'm glad he does, too. He needs to.
Yeah, well, it probably makes life easier for you if Phil's in a good mood.
So hey, there we go.
Getting a break every now and then. Let me ask you, who was your big pick? Give me your one big pick.
Oh, my one big pick for this week?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously I have Alabama, let's be honest.
We're not homers at all.
No, not at all. No, I mean, just the normals this week. I don't think I have a big upset or anything. I would have to go back and look.
I got you.
I kind of wait till Saturday morning to really dig in, and I'll change them on Saturday mornings.
So hey, we've got a breaking guest after the top of the hour, so I'm going to drag Boomer in a little bit more after this next break, and we'll talk. We're going to talk football a little bit more, too. So you stay with us here at Right Side Radio. Thank you for being here, and hang around. We'll be right back.